In the end of the fourth reading, we interrupted the digest of the festivals with a discussion of generosity. We talked about harvesting and how certain parts of the harvest have to be left for the impoverished, for those who are needy, and you have to share the bounty that Hashem gives you. And in the fifth reading of Parshas Emor, we return to the festivals. The summer has now waned and fall has arrived. Chapter 23, verse 23. God now speaks to Moshe, once again, saying, and here we address the festival that heralds our new year. Daber al bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, Lamer saying to them, b'chedesh hashavi, on the seventh month, b'echad l'chedesh, on the first day of that month, yihi alochem shabbaton, you will have an absolute cessation of work. A day of rest. This day will be a zichra in trua. It will be a remembrance or a memorial blast. Mikra kodesh, a holy convocation. And in case you didn't get the message, kol melechas aveda leisasu, do not do any work on this day. V'hikraftem ishal Hashem, you will bring a fire offering to God. Now there are other places in the Torah where Rosh Hashanah is spelled out in more detail. But this is all we get. In Parshas Emor, we get two verses. And here, we hear about the seventh month, because we know that Tishrei is the seventh month since Nisan. Nisan is where the months begin. So the seventh month, then, is where the year begins. In other words, the annual cycle of the Jewish people take counting time from the beginning of creation. That starts in the month of Tishrei. However, we as a nation were born in the month of Nisan, and so we count months commemorating the great miracle of the Exodus and our birth from Nisan. That's Rishon Hu Lechem L'Chodesh Hashana. That'll be the first counting for you. However, the notion of the annual renewal in which our lease is, if you will, renewed by God all over again, which is from creation, that happens in the fall, in the seventh month, and in the first day of it. So our commentaries point out very interestingly that when the Torah speaks about the notion of Shabbaton, that this will be a day of cessation, that this means it's actually a positive mitzvah, not just a negative mitzvah not to work, but it's actually a positive mitzvah. As the Rambam, Maimonides, says in his book of mitzvahs, he says, wherever you find the word Shabbaton and you find the word Mikra Kodesh, it is not only saying that there has to be a cessation of work in a negative sense, which is what we hear about in verse 25, kol melechas aveda leisasu, but before the negative mitzvah of don't do work, we have verse 24, which says, have a Shabbaton. We should actively call forth holiness. And that's because the observance of a Yom Tov is both a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. It's a positive mitzvah of cessation of work, of delighting in this day in a different fashion, treating this day differently. And invariably, it always begins with Mikra Kodesh, with a convocation or calling forth of holiness. That's a euphemism for the mitzvah we call Kiddush. We make Kiddush, we sanctify the day, we set the day apart. It will not be like other times of the year or other days of the week, other days of the month. This one is going to be special. Ramban says that the Torah commands us, when it says Shabbaton, that we should have a day of Menucha, a day of serenity, not only by not working. If a person were to behave in a mundane fashion, wear dungarees, hang out in the same place that he does all week, but he doesn't do any work, that's not called keeping Yom Tov. Keeping Yom Tov, as we know, entails you do things differently. So we have unique clothing, we have unique foods, we come together, we daven, we do things differently. So Yom Tov is not just a day when we don't, it's a day we do. It's not just a day we spurn work, it's a day where we necessarily embrace a heightened level of spirituality by changing our operating system, by behaving differently. And that's the positive mitzvah of Shabbaton. So let's move on to the next detail. The first detail is that it should be a Shabbaton on the first day of the seventh month. And then the Torah says it'll be a zichron trua, a remembrance of a shofar blast. This is very puzzling. What do you mean a remembrance of a shofar blast? We don't remember the shofar. We actually blow the shofar. What does remembrance mean? But that's all we get. Torah doesn't tell us here in Parshas Emor to blow the shofar. It just says Zichron Teruah. Now it's true, the Baal HaTurim says, aha, you see? The Torah was already alluding and hinting to the fact that at some point in time, our sages would ordain that if Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbat, that the shofar wouldn't be blown. So what do we do on Rosh Hashanah Shechol Liyot B'Shabbat? We just remember. We speak about the shofar, but we don't actually blow the shofar. All right, that's very nice. That's a beautiful allusion, and that's a remez, that's a hint, and you see how everything's encoded into the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to the Jewish people, and he was speaking in terms of centuries ahead. But what does it mean literally? When Moshe said to the Jewish people, Zichron Teruah, what did he mean? It doesn't say that this is a Rosh Hashanah that will fall on Shabbat. This is the Torah telling us about Rosh Hashanah for the first time. And it says, introducing the idea of the new year to us, Zichron Teruah, a remembrance of a Teruah. So some of the other beautiful drush homilies on this include the words of the Sephorno, who say that the word Teruah does not only mean a shofar blast, but it also comes from the Hebrew word reyut, which means friendship. V'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. So it means like a friendship. What does that mean then? That means, says the Sephorno, that on this day Hashem remembers His love for you, His closeness to you. So even though it's a day of judgment, and usually judgment days have a harsh connotation to them, you never saw anybody who is going to be showing up in the courtroom for his sentencing, wake up in the morning and say, let's party. Why? Because I'm getting sentenced. Maybe I live, maybe I die, maybe I lose all my money, maybe I end up in prison, but we should party now. Yeah, and that's not going to happen. Person comes to prison, he's shaking it to court, he's shaking in his boots that he's going to have a good judgment. So here we are getting judged, and all of a sudden, Jewish people celebrate. Like it says in the book of Nehemiah, Ichlu Mamtakim, eat fine foods, drink sweet things. What's going on here? So the answer is, and it's talked about in the Torah, he says, because the Jewish people were commanded by Hashem not to approach judgment with a sense of dread, but rather with a sense of joy. Why? With confidence. Because Hashem loves us, and surely He will do miracles for us. That has to be our attitude. Our attitude has to be is Hashem will take care of us, not Hashem won't take care of us. There's a silly little story which illustrates this fellow has a very, very difficult day in court, and he hires the best lawyer in the finest firm. Anyway, comes the day of the court, his lawyer's not there. The guy is freaking out. The judge walks in. Where's the other lawyer? He's got steam coming out of his ears. 10 minutes later, into the proceedings, his lawyer walks in. He's still putting his tie on. The guy is like, who is this guy? Where's the older lawyers? Where's the senior partners of the firm? They sent me. And he whispers to him, it's my first case. His heart goes to the floor and he thinks, I am doomed. There's no way I'm going to be able to get out of this. Anyway, the court, the proceedings go. The judge screams at the young lawyer why he's late. He says, listen, there was traffic. It wasn't my first time here. I didn't know how long it would take. The court proceedings are concluded. The judge walks out for a brief recess. He comes back in. The man waits for his fate to be decided in the worst of ways, and the gavel bangs, and the judge says, freed, exonerated, all charges dropped. He turns around to the lawyer, he says, I don't know how you did that, you're like a genius. He says, nah, the judge is my Zaidi. So that says the Sephorno, that's the Zichron Teruah. We come before Hashem, says the Ben Shalom, they don't know about it, but you're my Avinu Shebashamayim, right? You're Malkeinu, you're judging, but you're Avinu. Ah, Avinu, that's another story. So that's the Zichron Teruah, which yeah, it's a beautiful teaching, and it's true. And it influences and guides the way we observe Rosh Hashanah, eating fine foods and drinking sweet things, and it's a party, and that's beautiful. But what does it mean? What does it mean in a literal way when we say Zichron Teruah? The Teruah, our sages tell us, means shofar blasts. It doesn't mean friendship. It can mean friendship also. But that's not the primary meaning. Okay, so what does this mean? What does it mean when we say that this is a Zichron Teruah? Let's go to Rashi. Rashi says, Zichron Teruah. So we do have a verse in the book of Numbers, in the 29th chapter of Chumash Bamidbar. The Torah speaks about the Yamim Tovim over there. And over there, Rosh Hashanah is spoken of in a different way. Over there, the pasuk says Yom Teruah Yihelachem, a day of shofar blast. That kind of makes sense. A day of shofar blast is a fine way to characterize Rosh Hashanah. We do blow the shofar a lot, but here it doesn't say that. Here it just says Zichron, a remembrance. A remembrance? What do you mean remembrance? We're doing this. So Rashi says Zichron Psukei Zichronos. Zichron means verses of remembrance. On Rosh Hashanah, we necessarily recite and chant verses of remembrance. Verses. Not just the idea of blowing the shofar, but verses of remembrance. And psukei shofros, verses that speak about the shofar. And this, of course, refers to the psukim, to the verses that comprise the unique musaf, prayer of Rosh Hashanah, that has within it 10 verses of scripture, a mixed medley of scripture and Tillim, finishing off with Tillim, 3 of Torah, 3 of Nevi'im, 3 of Ketuvim, and then a final pasuk from Tehillim, and then that happens 3 times. Once there are verses of Zichronot, once there are verses of this Malchiot, majesty, which we don't talk about over here, talk about Zichronot and Shofarot. And that's what we're referring to here. Why should we say verses of Shofarot? Why should we say verses of memory? What are we trying to accomplish with these verses? So Rashi says, Lizker Lachem, to remember for you, Akedas Yitzchak. The Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak, Shekarav Tachtav Oil, that in his stead, a ram was offered. So we're actually doing some ram remembrances here. And the ram remembrance brings to mind the merit of the Jewish people, that our father, the first one to be born a Jew, was prepared to die for Hashem. With no fanfare, with no kind of attention or fame, on a quiet little mountain somewhere, Avraham Avinu was prepared to bring his son as an offering, and perhaps even more profoundly, Yitzchak was ready to offer himself. Not like that silly image that different people have advanced where a young, strong man holds a knife over a little child. It's baloney. Avraham Avinu was 137 years old. Yitzchak is 37. He's got lots of koyach. Avraham is starting to wane. At 137, you're not exactly at the zenith of your strength on the wrestling floor. And here, it's not. There's no child abuse. Avraham Avinu didn't wrestle Yitzchak anywhere. Yitzchak got the message, and he said, I am prepared to do whatever Hashem wants. And he didn't even hear it from Hashem. He just trusted that his father heard it from Hashem. That's the merit that we bring to mind each and every single year as we get judged, as we get looked at, so to speak. Hashem reviews all the things we did and decides how our new year is going to be. Now, the notion of a zikaron, of remembrance, is actually encoded into the idea of judgment. Because you're going to be judged for what you did. That means all things have to now be brought to the fore. They have to be remembered. And indeed, when you light candles on Rosh Hashanah, what do you call it? L'hadlik ner shel yom hazikaron, the day of remembrance. So the Torah actually does call this a day of remembrance, because a day of remembrance, that's how we approach our judgment. But we don't want to just remember or remind God of what we did, not necessarily, but we want to remind Hashem or bring to mind or remember the deeds of our ancestors. That's how we come on Rosh Hashanah before Hashem for judgment. That's what Rashi says. That's the literal meaning. So in other words, that this idea of Zichron Teruah is not speaking about the shofar blast altogether. It's speaking about the psukim. It's speaking about the verses. The verses specifically of Zichronot and the verses of Shofarot. This needs some more elucidation. Lucky for us, the Rebbe once spent a lot of time explaining this. And here's a digest of what he taught. Page Shin Chaf Ches. It's Chaf Gimel. It's the 23rd entry of Parshas Emor. So the Rebbe begins in this rumination with two questions on the words of Rashi. Question number one. Hamilim Zichron Trua. The words remembrance of a shofar blast. Mofias Kan B'mivne Shel Smichus. They show up here in the syntax where the words come together. Zichron Trua. They're not two separate words. There's not a zicharon, a remembrance, and then a trua, a shofar blast, rather, zichron trua. We would call this in English hyphenated. It's a remembrance, a ram remembrance. Trua remembrance. In other words, zichron shel trua. A zichron, a zikaron, a remembrance of a trua. That's the meaning of Zichron Truah. But think about it. Does Rashi interpret it or elucidate it that way? He didn't say Zichron of Truah. He said Zichron means Psuki Zichronis. Zichron means remembrance, means verses of memory. And then he says, Psuki Shofaros, and verses of Shofarot. It certainly seems that Rashi divides the words Zichron Truah, and he attributes the notion of chanting verses to each one independently. He seems to be saying Zichron, remembrance, is verses of memory, and then he seems to be saying Truah is Psuke Shofarot, is verses of the Shofar blast. That's strange. Why divide when the Torah seems to be hyphenated? We don't have a Zichron and a Truah, which Truah means a Shofar blast. We have Zichron Truah. So if anything, it's remembrance of the Shofar, not Zichron verses of memory. Truah verses of Shofarot. Why did Rashi do that? Why didn't he just explain Zichron Truah as a hyphenated term? Remembrance of Shofar. That's question one. It's a very strong question. Why did Rashi bother dividing this into two separate concepts? Number one. Number two, Hamilim Zich Lizkor Lachem Akedat Yitzchak, to remember the binding of Yitzchak, to remember for you. Kshurot, these are lecha'ira connected, lepsukia zichronot. That seems to be linked to the verses that speak about memory, not the verses that speak about shofarot. But if you look in Rashi, he says zichron trua. Zichron meaning a memory, trua meaning shofar. He says zichron trua means zichron psuke zichronot. Remembrances, verses of remembrance. Then the second word trua presumably would be u psuke shofarot. And then Rashi continues, for what purpose are those verses? Lizkar lachem akedat Yitzchak, to remind you of the binding of Yitzchak. Where should the words Lizkar lachem akedat Yitzchak have been attached to? To which part, to which verses? To the verses of shofarot or to the verses of zichronot? Zichronot. It's a memory of something that happened. It's not a memory of a shofar blast. Avraham Avinu didn't blow a shofar that day. Yitzchak didn't blow a shofar that day. He was supposed to be offered as a korban, and he wasn't. So what are we remembering? Shofar blast? No, we're remembering a ram that was offered instead of Yitzchak. We're remembering that something extraordinary happened here. That Yitzchak was prepared to give his life, and instead, a ram was offered. So it would seem reasonable to say, Zichron means Psuke Zichronot. What kind of Zichronot? So beginning with Lizkor Lachem Akedat Yitzchak. And then Rashi should have said, and then Psukim of Shofarot. So we have two very strong questions about the explanation that Rashi offered us. This explanation seems on the surface to be unwieldy. It doesn't seem to be the most natural way to explain this. It almost seems like Rashi's complicated things unnecessarily. Like Zichron Truah could have been a hyphenated word. Rashi divides it. He makes two things out of one, but it's really one. And then even more strange, the third part of Rashi, in which where he finished identifying the Zichron and the Shofarot, the Zichron and the Truah as two separate things, then he adds a detail after the second verses, Psuke Shofarot, which should ostensibly have been part of the first Zichron, meaning Psuke Zichronot. What's going on there? Okay, hold on to your seats. So here, this is a little nuanced and a very not an easy explanation. Let's listen carefully to what the Rebbe tells us. The Yesh Lavar, the Rebbe suggests that this is the proper way to frame and understand the words of Rashi. Mashma'ut hapshuta, the simple, straightforward intimation, the foundational intimation of the words Zichron Truah, memorial blasts. Zichron Truah, memorial blasts are l'cheira, sheyesh lizker es ha'truah b'yom zeh. It should be, we should make a memorial of the blast. We should have a memory of the shofar's sounding. That's the simple way people would read. If you ask a child, what does this mean over here? It means shofar blasts. And he probably learned that in nursery school. He said, Tkia, Shavarim, Trua. All right, so he knows what a Trua is. He asked a child in nursery, he said, what's a Trua? Look at you, funny. What do you mean? It's a shofar blast. Do, 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 do. Okay, fine. So what is Zichron Trua? If Trua means do, 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 what is Zichron Trua? To remember a shofar blast. Yeah, so what's the problem? The problem is that we're not remembering the shofar blast, we're blowing the shofar blast. Why would you remember the shofar if you have the shofar? It's like you talk about somebody who's no longer here and say, we remember this person. How about the person sitting right in front of you? Say, I remember you. You do? I'm sitting in front of you. Yeah, I remember. What do you remember? What do you mean you remember? We're now going to remember what we're about to do. If we're about to do it, obviously remember it. It's you remember the things that we did last year. Remember the things that past we did in the past, and you might forget. This is what bothers Rashi. The words Zichron Trua in their literal meaning seem entirely incongruous. A memory of a shofar blast? Okay, so the Baal HaTurim said, yeah, Rashi, that's because there's going to be a time when Rosh Hashanah will fall on Shabbos, and on Shabbat they won't blow the shofar. It's not going to be a shofar. So we're going to remind ourselves that usually on Rosh Hashanah, that's not a straightforward meaning over here. This is the rare occasion of Shabbat that falls on Rosh Hashanah, and that's a later rabbinic decree. That cannot be the simple pshat. So the simple pshat is then, you're remembering the shofar. That makes no sense. How could you remember a shofar when you're blowing a shofar? You're not remembering it, you're blowing it. You're doing it. Mitzvah lizker davarma. Let's say there's a commandment in the Torah we should remember something. So which things does the Torah tell us to remember? You know, there are actually six things you're supposed to remember every single day. It's printed in your Siddur after all. It's called the Shesh Zechirot. You're supposed to recite it every single day. Which are the six things you're supposed to remember?
Exodus from Egypt.
You should remember things that you might forget. you might forget you went out of Mitzrayim. Right? People say, you know, we're just, that's in the past. You might forget what Amalek did to you, because who wants to think about negativity? We just want to be positive. You might forget certain things. Torah comes always, don't forget. When it says don't forget, it's precisely because there's a chashash l'shikcha. And that's why the Torah gives a special warning. Zacharat Yom HaShabbat. Why? It's very easy to forget Shabbat. Unfortunately, Jews came to the United States and Canada from the old country, and what's one of the first things they forgot? Shabbos. They dropped Shabbos. They left it at the border. They left it in Halifax. They left it in Ellis Island. Why? It's an Ayah Medina. It's a new country. You got to get a job. Keep Shabbos. You don't have a job. There were very few people keeping Shabbos those days. And you kept Shabbos, you lost your job. They tell a story of one Jew who lived in the Lower East Side, and he would get fired every Friday. Every Friday, if you're not coming to work tomorrow, you get a pink slip. And he collected all these pink slips, and he instructed his family that when they bury him, eventually when he goes, he wants those pink slips buried with him. It's like I once heard a story of a person who wanted all his charity receipts buried. So you don't come to Shamayim, you don't come with the money you made. That's not impressive. He wanted to come with his pink slips. I lost all these jobs. I kept Shabbos. It's a big thing. Shabbos is not an easy thing. Torah comes along and says, my dear Yidula, my dear Jew, don't forget Shabbos. It's very easy to forget Shabbos. So something which you might forget, you have to be reminded. By the way, when are you supposed to remember Shabbos? Only on Shabbos? A whole week. A whole week is supposed to remember. Shomer Shabbos is not different one day a week. Shomer Shabbos is different all the days a week. Like Rashi says in Parshas Yisrei, he says Tnu Lev Lizker Tamid is Yom Shabbos. A Yid always has to remember Shabbos, and invariably a Shomer Shabbos does, because every day of the week, where am I going to be for Shabbos? Where was I for Shabbos? Where will I be for Shabbos? People talk about living for the weekend. We're the original live for the weekend. We live for Shabbos. So that's the thing you might forget, and therefore the Torah says remember it during the work week when you're all involved in mundane things. Don't forget Shabbos is coming. But what's the point of remembering Rosh Hashanah when you're actually blowing the shofar? Why would I forget it? I just blew the shofar 5 minutes ago. Yeah, don't forget the shofar. Of course I remember the shofar. Min ha'echrechef, we must say, Shapira Shamila Zichron Trua, Einei Sheyesh Tzerich Lizker Es HaTrua. It cannot be we should remember the shofar blast. Ela Sheyesh Tzerich LaHazker Es HaTrua. There's some kind of business of us mentioning the shofar blast. Now, what could that be? Ah, Rashi says mentioning, not just blowing. Mentioning must refer to psukim. That refers to verses. So what kind of verses are we talking about? So Rashi says, the meaning is that there is a concept of zichron trua, and therefore, we now have to explain how mentioning with zichron trua is important. Why are you having a remembrance of it? If you're supposed to say verses, what should it say? How do you say in Hebrew?
Say.
Huh?
Osei.
No say. No say means I don't know. Subject,
osei
it means.
Is to do.
Not osei. How do I say say? Tagid is one word. What's the other word? There's dibur and there's amira. So the Torah should have said, we should say it. It doesn't say, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, lemar, saying. It should say, not zichron trua, amiras trua. If it's about chanting words, but using your words, say and say it. Bring to memory. Don't bring to memory. You're chanting. You're saying verses. So it should say zichron trua. It should be amiras trua. If there's a mitzvah of not only blowing the shofar, but actually speaking about the shofar, then just say that for heaven's sake. Just say speak about the shofar. And this forces Rashi to divide between the words zichron and trua. Zichron trua cannot be simply verses of trua. Because if it was just verses of trua, it would say amiras trua, not zichron trua. So Rashi says then zichron and trua have to be two different things. What could they be? That means zichron is the kind of thing I should be chanting. I should be chanting zichron and chanting trua. I should have verses of memory and verses of shofar blasts. Two different ideas. But at the same time, I have to understand also the zichron and trua in a hyphenated sense. So how could you understand zichron and trua each independently chanting as the chant of remembrance and the chant of shofar, and at the same time have a zichron trua, have a hyphenated chant, a shofar chant, which I'm not going to actually be blowing the shofar. That has to be in a chant. It has to be in bringing to memory. And the answer is, the only way to do that would be to go back to the origin of the shofar. When is the first time the shofar shows up in Jewish history? Not with Adam Chava. That was a tree. When it showed up in the time, what's the first a major Rosh Hashanah? It happened on Rosh Hashanah, a major event. The first time in Jewish history there was a shofar on Rosh Hashanah was the Akedah. Wasn't exactly a shofar being blown, but there was a ram's head. And the ram's head had two horns. And one horn got sounded on Matan Torah, and the other horn is yet to be sounded. But soon we'll hear that sound in Meretz Hashem with Mashiach. In other words, so this is the other thing, this is the zichron to a Rashi has to do two things over here. Number one, he has to explain this talks about chanting. It's a biblical idea, we have to chant verses. And that's part of Rosh Hashanah. So yes, coming to Shul and Davening on Rosh Hashanah is actually a biblical idea. It goes back to the very beginning of Rosh Hashanah. We come together, we chant verses. We have a separate mitzvah of Yom Teruah, we have to blow the shofar also. Here we don't hear about the blowing the shofar. Here we hear about the chanting of shofar. So what does that mean? This chanting of memory, zichron. Chanting of shofar, Teruah. But it says hyphenated, zichron, Teruah. Rashi says, because there are certain verses which are both memorial and shofar oriented. Which verses are those? That's the verse of the Akedah. We're bringing to memory the merit of Yitzchak, but we're also at the same time emphasizing the principle and concept of the shofar. So basically Rashi has managed now to explain everything to us. Zichron, trua, and zichron trua. So we have to chant, we have to remember, and of course we have to blow the shofar. And this is brings our good deeds before Hashem and the good deeds of our ancestors, and in the merit of that, we surely merited a year that's going to be filled with bracha, and hopefully this is going to be the year in which Hashem decided that we're going to hear the other shofar blown with the coming of Mashiach. Memheira will be Amenu, Amen.